Good morning. Glad to be here and able to share with you some today from God's Word and from here. When I was younger, there was a kind of a common saying that people would often use. They'd say, oh, take it easy, just relax, take it easy. Everybody seemed to have kind of a mentality of not being diligent, of taking things easy and lax. But we're going to read a little bit in Titus today. And see a little bit different from, that varies from that philosophy somewhat. In Titus chapter 3, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Good works are mentioned many times in the book of Titus. Actually, there's 8 times at least that it's mentioned where it talks about good works and doing good things. And I know years ago, sometimes there was a group of, you would run into quite a few people that thought they were going to heaven because, well, they'd done a lot of good works. They'd been pretty good, and so they figured they would be okay. But of course, we know biblically, that is just, it's not of works. Salvation has nothing, works has nothing to do with getting saved. People can do all the good things they want, and it won't add up. When people look at that as far as how many good and great things they could do, right? And it gets compared with salvation, what does God say about it? In Isaiah 64:6, he says that we're all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, all our good, best, our most righteous things, what does he say about them? They're like filthy rags. We know that here it says in verse 5 that we were looking at, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's if we try to work and do all the good things we could in order to get saved, we would be complete failures. We would be completely rejected. That's what, of course, what a lot of the Pharisees were doing. They were trying to put up their own righteousnesses, their own good things, in order to establish their righteousness with God. But it does not work that way, because it's of God's mercy. It's a gift, something that we must receive for ourselves. And our good works can't measure up anything. They're all not fit, all of our own good things and our ideas. They don't measure up to God's. What God says is right. And it says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Because we're all guilty before God, we've all sinned, we deserve his wrath and his judgment and punishment. If I got what I deserved for my sins like that, I'd have been in hell a long time ago. And so would all of us. But it's of God's mercy that we're saved and that we're forgiven. But in the book of Titus, it talks about, a lot of times, about works and good things with them. We're going to look at a few of those verses. In verse 16 of chapter 1, it's talking about people. Then it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Here it's talking about people, they say that they know God, but in their works, they deny Him. And they're not doing what they should. It's not for, of course, works are not for salvation, but these people that say they know God, they deny Him in their works. They're doing all these wrong things and not doing what God has told them they should do, not doing what is right, not serving Him at all. In chapter 2, in verse 7, this is written, of course, to Titus. It says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. He was supposed to show himself as a pattern of doing good things in serving. Now let's just stop and talk about a little definition of good works, right? As you look it up and check things out in there, you know what? It is just plain as can be. It's good works. It's just good is good and works is works. It's doing good things. Now, in a practical sense, right, what is that? That's doing things that are helpful to others, doing things that you should be doing. If you have a job and you're working for a boss, it's doing what you should be doing there. If you have a family and you're taking care of them, good works could be doing the dishes. It could be doing laundry. It can be doing a lot of things that are helpful and doing something good and helpful to others. In verse 14 of the chapter 2, he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. People should have zeal in serving God and working for Him. Not the mentality of, oh, let's see what I can get by with, or the boss isn't around, so we can just kind of slough. No, we should have a desire to do good things and to be helpful and to be doing good works. And God says He wanted to redeem to Himself a people and purify them. They're a little different than the average. You know what peculiar means? Not just like everybody else. It's a little bit different. We should have a zeal to live for God and to work for Him and serve Him. When a believer has that testimony, it's a good testimony. That guy is honest when somebody's watching or when they're not. He does good things and it shows up. And he's helpful and kind. Is the world that way? There are a few people in the world that do have a good work ethic. There are some. But there's a lot that they'll slough or they'll cheat or they'll slip by with what they could get by with. But God wants His people to be zealous of good works. That's having some zeal to do things good, to be helpful, and to be serving that way. And of course, in the portion we read in verse 1, tells them they should be ready to every good work. In verse 8, it says that those which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And even in verse 14 down, it says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Do you know that you can be honoring God in doing whatever God has put in front of you to do? You can be honoring Him by being faithful and serving Him. Of course, if we look to the opposite side of that, right? What would opposite of doing good works be like? The Bible talks about idleness. It talks about slothfulness. It talks about a lot of things. And those are not good things, right? One of the sins of Sodom was idleness, abundance of idleness. They were slothful. That was one of the things the Bible mentioned of their that brought them to judgment. Slothfulness, idleness, laziness, those are not good things. But diligence, that's always considered a good thing biblically, that people should be diligent for what is good. Now, once in a while, you might have heard somebody use a term called workaholic, right? Now, first off, I must say, that is not a biblical term. Workaholic doesn't really have anything similar in the Bible. Is that line up with diligence? Does it line up with, zealous for doing good? It really doesn't. Now, there can be misplaced priorities, right? If a guy is spending 80 hours at the office and ignoring his family and making, he has misplaced priorities. He's putting money too far ahead of taking care of his family. He should be using his work rightly. But workaholic is not really a biblical term, because people are not addicted to it. They might have wrong priorities at times, but sloth and lazy is always bad. Diligence, zeal, doing things heartily as to the Lord, those are always good things. Those are always biblically things that God wants us to do. He wants us to be looking to serve Him and live for Him and make our lives count. You know, we don't have but one pass through life, as people know. And do we want to spend it being idle? That is not a good thing. Being idle is never a good thing. Being diligent and serving God is. And investing our time in others, serving them. Good work is normally not the idea of selfishly motivated either. Doing what's good should be something that we do and want to do and do for others and serve them. In the Bible, even, and this doesn't change necessarily age-wise, right? In the Bible, there was, Jesus told a lesson in Luke, and we're going to look at that just a little bit. And it was about a guy who, he had been diligent, but he decided that he was going to stop being diligent and stop being working. And we're going to pick up in chapter 12 and verse 16. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This guy, this is the most classic case we see in the Bible of retirement, as the world would like to think of it. They like to think of quitting doing things. And God said, "Oh, fool," God doesn't change, just because a person has to change jobs or leave certain jobs go, doesn't mean they shouldn't be serving. I had grandpa, right, that he retired and from his normal farm work and quit that, and a year or so later he said, "I'm busier now than I used to be. I'm running around fixing things for this grandkid and that grandkid and helping with this and that and working." He kept working. It wasn't like, "I'm done working." Now he didn't have the same income and the same building, but it wasn't like, "I'm going to go sit and watch TV on the couch now the rest of my life." That was not the idea. It was like, "I want to serve and help." And we should always have the idea of serving and helping and doing good. It doesn't stop just because we hit a certain age or hit a certain time when we're expected to do things easier. Well, maybe things have to get a little easier as our bodies get weaker and we can't, they get older. But we should still have the idea, how can I serve? How can I help? How can I live? This guy said he was going to take his ease and he was going to eat and drink and be merry. He was just going to take it easy and not really work anymore. That's actually not a very good example of what a lot of our world thinks about for retirement. We should be having the idea that we want to serve God as long as we can, do as much for Him as we can. On my wife's side, her grandma, as she was getting up in her 90s, started losing her ability to do much of anything anymore, right? She couldn't hardly even carry on a good conversation anymore, because she would forget what she had said. She'd forget, it was getting very hard to communicate. But you know what? If you said to her, "Maybe we should take a little time and pray." Do you know what? She could sit and pray clearly for 5 minutes without getting confused, without with praying for people specifically and specific needs, and yet she might forget who you were when you came in the room or not know you, but she could still do something of value. Praying is a thing of very good value. Work can change. People aren't always going to be able to carry heavy weight and throw big things around and do hard work, but we can keep serving the Lord all through our lives until He calls us home. Some work that people do is all mental work. There's lots of different kinds of work you can do. And is praying a good work? Do you know what it is? Praying is a really good thing to do. It may not be, quote, physical work, but it can be doing something good for somebody. Very good in looking for that. And Titus encourages people, and here it says, of course, in Titus, or in the Apostle Paul in writing, as God inspired, he says, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That means not letting them go. That means doing things that are good, serving God faithfully, doing the things that a person should do, living for God the way they should, serving God. We should be careful to keep doing it and not let it go and not think, oh, I've lived for God for a long time. Well, that's good if you have, but we should keep doing it and keep going on and keep saying, God, how can I make my life count for you? How can I make it count for eternity? We should be a people that are, as the other one said, that are zealous of good works. There's one other guy that I'd like to look at in the scripture that was a diligent guy that was held up as a good example, and that's in Philippians chapter 2. Anybody know about Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus is in Philippians chapter 2, and it was an example of a great diligent guy. And we're going to pick up in verse 25. And he says, yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. So what do we see about Epaphroditus? He almost worked, he kept working when it was almost to death. And why? Because he wanted the ministry to keep going on. There was some things that hadn't been taken care of, and they needed it. And Epaphroditus, he worked hard. And what does Paul say about him? He says, hold him in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. He wanted things to go on, even if it meant hurting himself. He was going to work for the Lord. He says, not regarding his life. He was willing to put all his energy and serve God with everything he had, even when he was getting sick and it was wearing him down and he got close to death, because he wanted to keep serving God. That was a good thing. He wanted to serve faithfully, to live wholeheartedly for God and serve Him. In our day, we have lots of things about ease and taking it easy and entertainment. A lot of people get the idea to let things go light. But our attitude as believers, we should have one of being zealous of good works, wanting to serve God, wanting to live for Him, make our lives count for eternity, things that will last and things of value. What things last in life, if like for eternity? What are eternal things that we should really be investing in? What lasts forever? One thing is, of course, our God is eternal and lasts forever, and our relationship with Him, we should take time in that. We should have diligent things in that, where we get up and read His Word and pray and talk to Him. You know what else is eternal? People. Are your kids eternal? Are the grandkids eternal? You know what they are? They're going to keep going on, someplace forever, and they're going to have reward. Things we should invest in, things that matter. Are the neighbors going to spend someplace forever? They are. They're going to be in heaven or hell forever too, and we should do what we can and serve and do good things that we can help direct people to the Lord, to put their faith in Him. We should do good things for people that we can be a good testimony. One of the reasons Paul lists in Titus of doing good works, right? It says that they be not unfruitful. If you're doing good and honest and helpful things, it can help you be fruitful in your life. It can help people see, you know what? That guy on the job, he's just faithful. He helps me out. He's a good worker. I can trust him. And if they can trust you and you share your faith with them and share the Lord with them, they might see that they're a guilty sinner, that they've done wrong and need Jesus to forgive their sins and save them. If you can help point them that direction and that they need it. Now, I never want anybody to get any idea that works can save them or do anything good for them as far as their salvation. If a person has not trusted Jesus to forgive them and save them, they're lost. They're in trouble. They're on their way to hell. They need forgiveness. And no amount of doing good can get that fixed. But when a person has trusted Jesus as their Savior and they know they're forgiven, we should be zealous to serve God. We should be wanting, how can I help here? How can I help there? Is there something I can do for you? And sometimes it's not necessarily exciting things. Sometimes it's just plain doing good things, mowing the lawn, taking care of whatever needs taken care of, just serving God faithfully. We should be zealous of good works, wanting to serve Him. And God, what does God tell us? He said that we need to affirm these things constantly and be reminded of them so that we can keep living for God faithfully, serving Him, doing what is right. That's how your life can count and be effective and fruitful. We should be zealous for serving God and want to make our lives count in helping others, in serving Him. So what? So they can see their need of forgiveness and invest in eternal things. Laziness, sloth, and that is always bad, but diligence is always a good thing. We should be careful to do that. Why don't we just bow for a word of prayer? And if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, why don't you put your faith in Him, realizing that works can't do anything to save you, only what He did in His finished work on the cross. And if you have trusted Him and you've been letting things slide, why don't you say, Lord, help me to be diligent for You. Help me to be zealous to do things that would please and honor You and be, that they would be good works coming out of my life. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for each one here. I pray for those that may not have trusted You as their Savior yet and need forgiveness, that they would see their need and put their faith and trust in You. And Lord, for those of us who have, help us to be zealous for You. Help us to be faithful and see the things that You want us to do and to do them, that we might have lives that would honor and please You in all that we do. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I sure will. Yeah. Yeah, I was just about to pray here, and I will pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your power and the power in Your blood that was shed for us to cleanse us from all sin. I pray that through Your Spirit and Your blood You might cleanse the evil out that's around. I pray that Your Spirit would work and through Your blood You would cleanse the evil and wrong things that are around. I pray that You would just strengthen us and Help us to be close to you and that your Spirit would mightily work in each one of us who know you as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.